little contraption does in fact come with an ergonomically designed.
Well, good morning, folks. It's really good to be back. I tell you what, it's so exciting to be here. We've been anticipating for a long time. I don't know about for you, but it's been a long 3.5 to 4 months for me. And it's just good to be back together here. And I want you to know that if you could just give us a little bit of a pass, right? Because I know people, no matter what we decide, no matter what we talk about, people always have different opinions, right? And so people feel like we never should have stopped meeting. People felt like we should have came back a month ago. People said we should wait till Christmas before we come back. It doesn't matter what we do, right? And so what we're trying to do is what's best for you guys. We're trying to do what God's called us to do. And so this is what we feel is the appropriate time to come back. And as we come back, we want you to know that we're doing everything we can to make sure that we protect you as we come back here. And so we're trying to be very careful. We're not trying to police everybody. As you can tell, if people shook hands, I didn't tackle anyone as you came in and told you to stop doing that. And so we make recommendations, but we also give you guys freedom in what we're doing. So I want you to know that you guys matter to us. We do want to let you know, though, if somebody does test positive in one of our services, we want you to know that if we have your email address, you will receive an email from us letting you know that. Because of there's HIPAA laws, we can't tell you who it was, but we do want to tell you what service, and if we know you were sitting in the general vicinity, you will be contacted personally, okay? We don't want to let you guys run in fear and be all nervous and scared. We just want you to know that we already have a protocol in place if something happens at one of our campuses. But we're really glad you're here. We are starting a new series called Hashtag Struggles. I'm sure that in your life, you're going, why would we talk about that? Because we don't struggle with anything in life, right? Life is perfect. It's good. We enjoy life. But for me, it's really sometimes hard to live a Christ-centered life in such a self-centered world, because we're being educated, we're being trained through marketing, through education to say this: worry about who? You. You are the captains of your ship. What matters most is you. And sometimes when we look at life from this self-centered perspective, it's really hard to live a Christ-centered life. And so we're going to talk about hashtag struggles, and we're going to talk about things like authenticity, relationships, rest, compassion. And today we're going to talk about the area that I'm going to be honest with you, and you're going to hear me be honest with you, area that I struggle with the most in my life, and it's the area of contentment. I really struggle with contentment. I don't know if you do, but as I walk through life, there are times that even if I reach goals or we reach some kind of objective in life, for me, my mind does not let me settle or take rest or have peace in that achievement. What I do is immediately throw a carrot out there that's farther out there, something that I can strive for, something that I can try to reach. When we lack contentment, though, here's what the struggle is. If we struggle with contentment in our life, we often live this life that is somewhat frustrating. We don't find a lot of joy as we live life, and we don't find a lot of happiness. Why? Because it's always something out there that we can't attain. As we compare ourselves to others, as we set these man-made goals, there's times that we find ourselves not being satisfied. And if we live a life that's not content, we will be dissatisfied in this life. Some people have said that we live in a generation more than any other generation before where we're just discontent everywhere. Sociologists have said this. They blame social media to be a big part of why discontentment is on the rise. Because what we see happening around us, we begin to evaluate and observe. And sometimes there's envy. Sometimes there's bitterness. Sometimes we don't care a bit. But the reality is, as we see in social media, we watch other people's lives. We stalk our coworkers, our family, our friends, people who go to church with us. And we start asking questions. Why can't we go on vacations like they went on? Why didn't my student get student of the month? How could they afford that car? How could they afford that house? Most of the people on social media put their best foot forward. They don't typically post pictures of themselves that make them look really unattractive, right? Stephen Furtick said this: we're comparing our behind the scenes with other people's highlight reels. We feel like losers because we see the best of their best, but we know the worst of our worst. We watch people put those meals on. Have you seen the pictures of a meal? Look what I've done. And they put this wonderful meal that's out there, But they don't show the pictures of when they left the cookies in too long. They show their kids like, oh, bless my heart. Look at the two kids as they're like painting and coloring together and they're helping one another. Bless their heart. But do you see the pictures when the kids are in the backyards just wailing on each other and punching and kicking? That's me tied around a tree and like, look what my kids did today. They abused one another. So often we struggle with contentment because we understand life has challenges to it. Life can be difficult. And we watch the highlight reel of other people's lives and go, why can't we have that? The more we compare ourselves with others, the less satisfied we are going to be. I want to say that again. The more we compare ourselves to others, the less satisfied we will be in this life. Today we're going to look at a Bible, a letter that's been written in the Bible. It's called Philippians. If you could turn there in your copy of the scripture, that'd be awesome. But we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul wrote about this very topic that we're talking about today as we talk about contentment. See, Paul's not a person who sat there on this mountaintop and all he did was have mountaintop experiences. He did know what it's like to have success. But there are other times in Paul's life where he went through extremely difficult moments, where he ended up in jail, where he was being persecuted, where he was being beaten, where he was shipwrecked. He had all kinds of horrible things happen to him. And as he wrote this letter, he wrote it from being in prison. And this is what he said in Philippians chapter 4. I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So Paul walked through life and he knew what it was like to have the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. He understood the temptations and the frustrations and the difficulties of life, but he also watched cities being transformed by the gospel. So he went through the good and the bad times, and as he walked away from his experiences, this is what he said. I have learned what it's like to be content in both of those seasons of life. I can sit down for Thanksgiving and realize that my table is completely full of food, and I can be content. That's easy, right? But he also said, I sat down, and I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. I didn't know when I was going to eat next, and I want you to know this. I've learned to be content in that season as well. In your life, have you learned the lesson? Have you learned the principle of contentment? I know some of you want to know what's in the sauce, the Chick-fil-A sauce, right? You want to know that secret recipe. But what I want to know is, what is the secret sauce for when it comes to contentment? What does it take for us to get to the place in our life where we can be in any circumstance and we find or realize that God is enough? The first component of being content is the component of education. We need to learn it. Let's go on to the next verse. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I want you to know that Paul didn't necessarily learn contentment from a book that he read. He didn't necessarily learn contentment, right, from watching something on Netflix. He went through the school of hard knocks. There was a place where he learned it by going through difficult seasons of life. He learned it when he went through great seasons of life. What happens was he stepped back and he realized that in any season, God was enough for him. I have watched people in prosperity who are content, but I've watched people in prosperity who are discontent. I've watched people who are in poverty and they are discontent, but I have seen people in poverty who are discontent. I have seen people who have all the things that this world has to offer, and frankly, they are miserable people. They just keep buying more stuff, thinking, if I can get one more item, if I can have that, then somewhere in this life, I will be content. And frankly, they're miserable, and they're not very generous. And I've seen people who don't have very much, and they are so open-handed in life and say, whatever we have is yours. And for whatever reason, they have found a position in life where they are content with it. They realize they don't have what other people have, but it doesn't matter. Why? Because they realize that God is enough. Folks, if we don't find God to be enough for us, we're going to have an issue with our hearts and with our minds, and it's going to lead us down a path that is uncomfortable. Sometimes in life, the reason we struggle with contentment is because our priority system's out of whack. And what we do is begin to focus on things that are temporal, things of this world. And we feel like if we can have this, then we would be happy. And people say, that's ridiculous. Go buy a new car and see how long it takes for you to want another car. What I got to say, I talked about it before, I got a truck. I love my truck. But then another truck came out and had a different tailgate that you could do and push buttons and things happen. I want another truck. No matter where we walk in life, oftentimes when our priorities are out of whack, you will never be satisfied. Why? Because something bigger, better, faster, shinier is going to come out. You go get an iPhone, and they're going to come out with a new iPhone. You get a new Mac, you're going to come out with a new Mac. I don't care what it is. Whatever you do in this life, something better is going to come out. And if you start chasing that carrot, you're going to have a really hard time finding contentment. Why? Because the marketing of this world is based upon, let's make stuff bigger, better, faster, stronger. So you keep buying more products. But Paul went through hard times. And it was in the hard times, when Paul went through his most difficult challenge, the thorn in his flesh, what did he say? It was through that that he found out God's grace is sufficient. Wait a minute, God, even in my hard times, you're enough? It was through his challenges that he realized the strength of God was enough. He realized that God was everything that he promised, and he was beyond that. Anyone can learn to be content, but you have to see God in your circumstances. And while you can learn contentment, I want you to know that sometimes it's elusive. There are moments in my life where I've been content. My wife would probably disagree with me. There are moments in my life that I'm content for a season. But typically that season doesn't last very long. And I start pacing. And it's not because I want what other people want, it's because I put that carrot in front of me. We achieved a goal, what's next? And it's always pushing for what's next and never being satisfied in today. My executive pastor, who does all our data for the church and all kinds of stuff, he'll give me a spreadsheet. And I look at the spreadsheet for whatever it is we're looking at, attendance, giving, whatever it is. And he said, I have never seen anyone who can look through a spreadsheet as fast as you can and find the problem. To find the issue that we need to work on. Instead of seeing the 9 things that are going well and going, that's great. I find the one thing that's like, hey, we need to do this better. Put the carrot out. Motivate myself. Challenge our staff to get better. One day, and for those who are watching online, there's a guy at this campus named Reed, and most of you guys know who Reed is. They were sitting in my office, the XP and Reed, and they were coming in, and they were just so excited about something that was going on. And they're sitting in my office, oh, this is great, Barry. And they were so happy, and that's great. And this is what I said to him, that's great, we've celebrated, let's get back to work, let's go. And seriously, they looked at me going, are you kidding me? Like, that's the celebration? And Reed, I was asking Reed, I said, do you remember what it was? He goes, I don't, but I feel like I've had that conversation with you a lot. Let's get back to work. When we reach a goal, I find ways in my mind that we should have done it better. We've gone beyond our goal today in our attendance, what I was hoping for today in our attendance. And I'll go back this afternoon, I'll be in the fetal position, and I'll start working through why we should have done something different, we would have had more people. People who I work with say, I've never seen you put you put your foot on the gas and never take it off. And people go, yay, that's awesome, good for you. The problem is, and I'm going to be honest with you, there are a lot of seasons in my life that I find no joy. None. You can say, but look what's happened. My mind won't allow me to rest in the fact that we have a great God who's provided greatly for us, and instead I want to look at what we should do differently or better and how we can be bigger and how we can grow faster, how we can plant new campuses. I can't shut it off. And some people think, it's like, that's great. Not if you live in my mind, it's not. There are seasons that I go through my life, and my wife will tell you this, that I'm not very happy. Well, I come to church on Sunday. How are you guys? Great to see you guys. But my head is just flying, and I'm racing, and I'm trying to figure things out. I'm trying to fix things. I'm trying to say we could do it better. I'm evaluating. You can barely even sit in a worship service and just enjoy it. Why is that chair? We need to put that down. We forgot to do it. And to me, it's like your mind just starts racing. I want you to know at some point when you can't find contentment, it's really hard to find joy. And it's really hard sometimes to enjoy life. When we struggle with contentment, you know what we do? We complain. We always complain because it's not good. We're never satisfied in what God has done for us. We're not very grateful. This is what Ecclesiastes says. I denied myself nothing. This is Solomon. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took no delight in all my labor. And this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Solomon had all kinds of women in his life. Solomon had all kinds of buildings. Solomon had all kinds of fields and vineyards. Solomon created this world where he put a carrot out there and everything he wanted in life, he got. And as he got to the end of the journey and evaluated everything that happened, this is what he said. What a waste of a life. What I did is I went down this road and there was no meaning to what I did. I chased and I chased and I chased. I got and I got and I got. I bought and I bought and I bought. And at the end of it, I wasn't happy. I wasn't content and I wasn't satisfied. It was a meaningless journey. Do some of you struggle along with me in this journey? To where no matter what you've been blessed with, no matter what you have in life, in your mind, you have configured this idea that it's not enough and you need more. Folks, we need to learn the lesson. We need to learn the lesson of contentment. Secondly, we need to practice it. And what I mean by practicing it is we need to learn to be grateful. We need to exercise that contentment muscle in our brains. For some reason, it doesn't become real till we experience it over and over and over again. It almost becomes that like that kind of muscle that we have, that contentment muscle, what do they call it? I'm looking for the word here, contentment muscle memory. Remember they have muscle memory when you lift weights and stuff? And if you do it enough, you get this muscle memory and your muscles respond back to what you're used to doing. It's almost like in our minds, we have to get this contentment muscle memory to where we do it enough to where it becomes instinctual for us. When God does something for us, we just are grateful. We're happy in the season that we're in. We have to discipline our minds and our hearts to be content, to be satisfied, to be happy in what God has blessed us with. I want you to know when we are discontent, two things happen. We become envy and bitter towards other people who have something that we don't have, and we have a tendency to not be grateful for what we have. Greg Rochelle said this in one of his quotes, "Envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's lives, and it's ignoring God's goodness in our own life." It's resenting the good in others, and it's ignoring the good that God has done for us. Why do we struggle so much to rejoice with those who rejoice? Why? Why do we struggle so much to be happy and grateful for what God has blessed us with? Why do we always seem to have more? And the more that we attain, the more that we get, we realize we find ourselves in the exact same place again of wanting more. This is what James says. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. When you struggle with contentment in your life, it is going to lead you down a road to all kinds of practices that are not God-honoring. It's going to lead you to things like envy and to bitterness, and you're going to struggle with joy. We need to learn contentment. We need to practice contentment. And third, we need to keep it at all costs. If you find something in your life that is keeping you from joy, we need to shut it down. If you find something in your life that is keeping you from being content, you need to cut it out like a surgeon. If you go on social media and you find yourself struggling as you look at other people's lives, as you compare yourself to the highlight reels of their life, and for whatever reason it makes you struggle, it steals your joy, listen to me. Stop going on social media so much. If you struggle with vehicle envy, stop going to the car lots and doing test drives. I want you to know a lack of contentment leads to selfish ambition and evil practices. In the world of immorality, it leads to things like lust and pornography and immorality. In the world of finances, it leads to greed. It leads to things like stealing and embezzlement. Why? Because it's just not enough. When it comes to other people, when we struggle with contentment, we find ourselves literally talking about other people, gossiping about other people, tearing other people down, but then we find ourselves boasting in who we are. So we're sitting there making ourselves look better and making sure they look horrible. I want you to know that when we walk down the road of discontentment, we are not going to be satisfied, and it leads to all kinds of practices that are not God-honoring. Here's a quote that I like. Don't let what you want rob you of what you have. Let me say it again. Don't let what you want rob you of what you have. Some of you are going to go home today to a wonderful home, wonderful backyard, a boat, a barbecue, whatever it is. And you can just sit and enjoy what you have. Or you can go home and say, I want a bigger grill. I want a bigger backyard. I want a new refrigerator. We could sit around and want all kinds of stuff in life. We need to learn it. We need to practice it. We need to keep it at a cost, and we need to remember that God has given us everything we need. Let's look at this verse again. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I've heard this verse quoted for sporting events. I've heard this quoted for someone who's taking a test. I've heard this verse quoted for people getting a job, people who are going fishing. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Do you understand the context of the verse that's being used? The verses before that say this. I have learned to be content no matter what the situation is. In plenty and in want, I've learned to be satisfied. And he follows it up with this verse in Philippians 4:13 said, I can do that. Why? Because Jesus can help me do it. He gives me the strength necessary that I need to accept the place that he's put me. to accept his blessings and to realize it's enough. The secret to contentment is Jesus. It says this in 4:19. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I hold him at his word. He says, if you need it, you'll have it. He didn't say, if you want it, you'll have it. He said, if you need it, you'll have it. Did anybody go without breakfast this morning? Maybe you skipped it, but did you go out because you have no food? I look around and I say, like, thank you. All of you are dressed this morning. Thank you for coming with clothes on. I didn't see anybody walking down the road. Most of you will probably go somewhere and get dinner out to lunch, or you get stuff, or you put the roast on this afternoon. Most of us will go to jobs tomorrow. It doesn't mean life's perfect, but God said, if you need it, you have it. And can you learn to be satisfied with that? And can you learn to be content with that? I think about life when we're discontent. And it's like looking at the face of Jesus and saying, God, I know that you've given me a home, a roof over my head. I know you've given me something that I can eat today for dinner. You've given me a job, given me a vehicle. But God, I just got to let you know, it's not enough. God, you need to do a better job. Isn't that what we're saying to God basically when we're not content? God, somehow you need to do a better job because this isn't enough. I want to experience more of the American dream. I understand people who are without Jesus, right? They're trying to find some level of satisfaction, contentment. And as they strive after the things the world has, they just continue to strive and strive. And it's like the stones, like, I just can't get no satisfaction. And I try, and I try, and I try, but I can't get it. But as Christians, he said, you have everything you need in Christ. Through me, you can do this. We need to learn it. We need to practice it. We need to keep it at all costs. We need to know what we have. I know in the season of life for me, one of the things that I struggle with right now is, what does our church look like in the future? We've been worried about it for 3 months, right? 3.5 months. What does this church look like in the future? And you worry and think of how can we start strategizing, working, if we market, we do this, we go through all this stuff. And at some point, I just need to step back and say this, God, you know what? This is not my church. This is your church. We'll just be faithful. You do what you want. If you want to blow this place up, blow it up. If you want to grow this thing to be 700, grow it to 700. Do you understand? It's his church. It's not ours. And somehow we have to find that satisfaction and that contentment and God's pleasure to say this, God, just please use us to continue to change lives. And in this season, this is my prayer. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether COVID-19 comes back or not in our community, whether we go through this unrest in our society and we see all of this turmoil on the news. I can't watch the news because of all the turmoil they keep showing. Listen to me. In every situation, you're on the throne, and your grace is sufficient, and your strength is sufficient, and that's enough for me. Guys, would you pray with me as we go through #struggles? That for all of us, God would give us an increasing level of contentment in our lives. Father, thank you so much. You continue to be a huge God who shows us patience that we don't necessarily deserve. God, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for walking through these seasons of life where we struggle. Thank you for caring for us. And in those moments that we become a little more reluctant, that we struggle just a little bit in the experiences we're having, whether it's at work or somewhere else. God, I just pray that you would help us. You would help us to just trust in you and to find your grace and strength sufficient. For those who struggle with contentment, along with me, God, I pray that we'd find that you're enough. And we ask this in your Son's name.